This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, hour number two, rolling along on Monday. The San Francisco 49ers are the team we're previewing today, part of NFC West Week. Yeah, we're reaching the Western teams, and as I was saying in hour number one, you've got a division this week in the NFC that has the Super Bowl champions, an Arizona team led by Kyler Murray, who's now been paid, made the playoffs last year, although be it struggled towards the end of the season after off to a great start. The San Francisco 49ers, a team we're doing today that was in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. Seattle that traded Russell Wilson and is now in the process of rebuilding with two quarterbacks no one's really that excited about. When we get to next week, we're going to talk about a division that's the best division right now. It's got a Kansas City Chiefs team that's not going away with Patrick Mahomes, even if Tyreek Hill is down in Miami. The Chargers, a very strong up-and-coming team with Justin Herbert, who's emerging as a megastar. The Raiders, with Derek Carr and a playoff team last year, now with Devontae Adams, guided by a guy who's getting a second chance at being a head coach in the NFL after a not-so-good run the first time when he was with the Denver Broncos and was sort of let go in a lot of controversy when he was only there for basically a year and a half. And then there, of course, is the Denver Broncos, who picked up Russell Wilson and now have landed the quarterback that they've wanted since Peyton Manning retired. Man, they went through a ton, but now they've got Russell Wilson. A defense last year that was pretty good for Vic Fangio, but he's gone, and now Nathaniel Hackett, who was calling plays in Green Bay, is now guiding them. So the next eight previews that we do over the next 2 weeks are going to be some significant teams that are going to be carrying some weight going into this season. But how much on the 49ers? Well, on the one hand, we are talking about a team that went to the NFC title game last year, albeit having to win two games on the road in rather, you know, interesting circumstances. Like I said, that game against Green Bay, it's almost a head-scratcher how the Packers lost that game. I mean, the special teams was a mess. The offense didn't do anything after an early touchdown. But nevertheless, a win is a win, and the Niners got it. And now they go into this season with a second-year quarterback after departing and saying, that's it, Jimmy Garoppolo, your time with our team is now over. QB1 belongs to this kid, Trey Lance. All right, so we're going to talk to Vontae Hill of the game in San Francisco about the Niners and the 2022 outlook, and also look back on how they got to this decision about Jimmy Garoppolo's future. That's all coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us on a Monday.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, mentioned earlier, the San Francisco 49ers are on a clock. Vontae Hill set to join us from 95-7, the game out in San Francisco. On a 49ers team that went 10-7 last year, so the record wasn't a 12-5 Rams team, where they didn't go, you know, 13-4 or anything like that. But nevertheless, they did get in one of the wild card spots and turned that into some gold by getting to the NFC title game in a game in which they had a 10-point lead. So they were very close to going back to the Super Bowl. I remember they were the team that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs beat just a few years ago. But now they move on to a new quarterback in Trey Lance. But some of the pieces there are still good. Remember, Deebo Samuel asked to be traded. They did not trade him. Nobody really thought that they would. Instead, they paid him. They liked him. But this is, again, a team that has got a lot of pieces around Trey Lance to like. But we'll look at the 2022 season when we have Vontae Hill coming up again on 95.7 The Game to help us preview the Niners. I just think this is it's really fascinating, but it's not mind blowing, right? We know that in the end, players are always evaluated, and it's not always a results oriented business, right? I mean, it's like anything else. Sometimes you win in particular ways, but you may not like the way you're winning, and you may not like the way the particular people that are helping you win games are playing. This is not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison, but bear with me. I saw a little bit of it in Denver when Tim Tebow was winning games, but nobody really liked the way he actually played quarterback, right? Now, I'm not putting Tebow on the same level as Jimmy Garoppolo. That's silly. That's too extreme. But the idea is kind of the same. You may like the result, but you may be nervous about the future, right? You may be saying, look, in the end, I don't know if this is a consistently winning pattern that we're going to have to get. Now, the interesting thing is that kind of was what Jimmy Garoppolo was doing. He was winning enough games, but in the end, the Niners, and especially Kyle Shanahan, as brilliant as he is offensively, knew what that position a quarterback was supposed to look like, and it wasn't getting the look that he wanted. But again, you can't discount the athletic ability of Trey Lance to play that position at a higher level down the road. And I think that's the wise choice that they made. But when we talk about a league where there just isn't an abundance of quarterbacks, where teams are still struggling to find signal callers, I do think that that decision is a good one to have, I guess, where you have a quarterback that has gotten you a winning record, that gets you into the playoffs, that wins more games than he loses, and you still find a way not to quite be satisfied with that. And you go, well, we have an opportunity to go get another one higher in the draft. And that doesn't really happen, because if you have a good enough quarterback, you rarely have the off years enough to go get somebody else. But the Niners did. I mean, they had that, you know, they were able to beat, you know, draft pretty high in 2021 and get Trey Lance, one of the quarterbacks that was coming into that draft, as well as some others that were coming in, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson and whatnot. But the reality of it is that now you're turning this entire team and Super Bowl hopes onto a second-year guy, whereas other second-year guys are not given either the tools or the expectations to do exactly that. I don't think anybody's looking at the Jets and saying, yeah, it better be Super Bowl or nothing, that's it. Or the New England Patriots, Super Bowl or nothing. Now, is that the case in San Francisco? When you come that close to a Super Bowl, and again, you still have George Kittle on your roster, you still have Deebo Samuel on your roster, Nick Bosa is on your roster, right? All those players, Brandon Ayuk, is it Super Bowl or bust, or is there enough wiggle room where it's okay to grow at that position so that you're more consistently a Super Bowl presence or a Super Bowl thought at the beginning of the year down the road? You know, Mac Jones, I mean, as tradition of 20 years of championships and high-level play the Patriots have, I don't know if Mac Jones is in that similar position in New England, right? So, fair or unfair, that's where the 49ers have gotten Trey Lance. But the reality of it is that he wasn't going to a crappy team. He was going to a team that was built really well, that had some injuries, but was built really well. So Bonte Hill joins us from 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco, help us break down the 49ers. How are you, my friend?
What's up, man? Good morning. Football season is almost here. Almost. I say almost.
Almost. But we're there. All right, before we get to 2022, let's go back to 2021 and just set up the San Francisco angle of it for those who are around the country listening on the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. What is it that they didn't like about him? Why did they draft Trey Lance? Why is he now the quarterback going forward?
Well, I think you have to go back to Super Bowl 54 in 2019, 2020, when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. There was rumblings around the organization that Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And you could just kind of tell by the way the Super Bowl was called, that there wasn't a lot of trust there. You always had the Kirk Cousins rumblings. You had rumblings about other quarterbacks. And are the 49ers married to Jimmy Garoppolo because of all the opt-out clauses in this contract? Well, you look at Tom Brady, the flirtation there, and the Niners going down that avenue. They don't pick up Tom Brady, but there was definitely smoke there. They even told Jimmy Garoppolo, hey, look, we investigated Tom Brady, and we looked at the film, and we want to be transparent with you, Jimmy Garoppolo. We are searching for your replacement. So that has always been in the works. And then, of course, they move heaven and earth and move up to the draft and draft Trey Lance, number 3 overall. And so we kind of knew that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't Kyle Shanahan's guy. But you look at the way the season ended last year, they go on that run to the NFC Championship, despite Jimmy Garoppolo struggling and not hitting open wide receivers and having injuries. It's just somebody you just couldn't rely on a game-to-game basis because of the injuries. And when you add in the trust factor that Shanahan did not have in Jimmy Garoppolo, here we are in a situation now with Jimmy still searching for a team. But I got to say right now, it's just bizarre to have Jimmy work it out before the team at the practice facility. It's bizarre that he's still on the football team. It's bizarre that the 49ers can't find a trade partner to dance with them for Jimmy Garoppolo. So the whole thing is weird. But, I mean, you had all those factors in Jimmy Garoppolo not being a 49er now, and the key is going to Trey Lance because of the trust factor Shanahan really never had with Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, this is a team that was that came very close to going to another Super Bowl. 10-7 was their record, but like you said, they go on this run. Not a lot of second-year guys in the NFL are inheriting a team with those kind of expectations. How has Lance handled it? And what exactly, I mean, is this a Super Bowl team?
I mean, they have a Super Bowl roster. They have a Super Bowl roster. They have a Super Bowl defense. Now, do they have a Super Bowl offensive line and a Super Bowl quarterback? That's going to be determined. You're right. I mean, how many second-year quarterbacks? I mean, I think about Ben Roethlisberger when he was with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It was a stacked team around him. Strong running game, vicious defense. He didn't have to do too much. Same thing with Phillip Rivers when he was down in San Diego with the Chargers. He had a lot of talent around him. LaDainian Tomlinson, a great defense. So he didn't have to do too much. Same thing with Trey Lance. He's not going to have to do too much. Now, can you hit the third down throw? Can you convert money downs and extend drives? Could you extend drives with your legs? Trey Lance is coming into a situation where the defense is top notch, a Super Bowl type of defense with all the stars glittered on that side of the ball, led by Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Offensively, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. That's not a bad trio right there when it comes to weapons on the offense. And then you got to figure out the backfield. That's something the 49ers are trying to figure out there with who's going to start Elijah Mitchell, TDP, Tyrion Davis Price. Trey Sermon seems to be playing his way out of the rotation. And, heck, he may even get cut or traded, which is disappointing for the former third-round pick out of Ohio State. But Trey Lance comes into a situation where he may throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game. That's it. Manage your game. Don't do too much. And make sure that the Niners are – look, what they need help in is the last 5 minutes of the game. That's what hurt them against the Dallas Cowboys. It almost got them bounced in a wild card game. That's what hurt them against Green Bay. And that's what eventually led to their doom or their demise against the L.A. Rams, not being able to finish games. That's going to be Trey Lance's biggest thing here, I think, early on in the season. We know he can run a two-minute drill. We know he can throw the ball down the field. But in the last 5-6 minutes of the game, can you make that one throw to steal a game? That's what he's going to have to get better at early in the season and throughout if he wasn't really put his stamp on his team. But look, you're right. This team is loaded. Trey Lance doesn't have to do too much.
I'm really curious about this because we all get it with Kyle Shanahan. It's Kyle Shanahan's offense, and he's one of the top offensive guys. Does the loss of Mike McDaniel, what does that mean? I mean, does that mean anything on this team? Was he valuable in a way that we didn't know?
That's a great question because I always ask the question, if Shanahan's calling the plays, how valuable is an offense coordinator under Kyle Shanahan? You know, is he designing the plays? Is he putting in the game plan? Because Shanahan calls all the plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brian Baldinger, our insider, believes that that could be a big loss because McDaniel came up with a lot of the motions, a lot of the window dressing that the 49ers do before an offensive snap. However, Debo Samuel, a couple weeks ago on NFL Network, said, look, Mike McDaniel's down in Miami. Wes Welker, their former receiver coach, is down in Miami. Now Leonard Hankerson, the former Miami Hurricane, a former NFL player, he's not coaching the wide receivers. Debo said there's no drop-off because Kyle is still in the building. So I'm not sure if there's going to be a major drop-off. Plus, you bring in Anthony Lynn, who knows the Shanahan system really, really well. I don't believe there's going to be a lot of drop-off. I think we're still going to see a lot of the motions. And we're going to see the bootleg game and the zone read that the Shanahans love to employ. So, I, to be honest with you, I don't think there's going to be a major drop-off. As long as Kyle Shanahan is in the building and he's the architect and he's the mind, I think the 49ers would be just fine with their offensive philosophy in 2022.
You mentioned the Super Bowl-level defense. It was excellent last year, but was there things that got better or are there things that got worse this offseason? Is there any additions or subtractions that we should know about?
Charvarius Ward, cornerback from the Kansas City Chiefs, you add him into the equation. They lose K.Y. Williams, a slot-wide receiver, but the 49ers are really high on this Sammy Womack, the third kid. He's playing nickel, but he's a rookie. And we know how rookie corners can struggle, especially in this league, early on in this league, with all the dynamic playmakers littered across the NFL. So that's one guy to watch. They bring back Emmanuel Mosley, a solid corner. He's been here for a long time. Jimmy Ward is back. Jaquaski Tart, that strong safety. He's a guy who moved on, and now they're starting Hufanga, a young man out of USC in his second season. That's a situation to look at strong safety. Can he guard? Can he defend the pass? We know he's a big hitter. But this league loves to throw the football. So can he, how is he going to hold up the pass covers? The defense is stacked. I mean, you bring back Javon Kinlaw, the former first-round pick. He looks ripped. He's 295 pounds with a freaking six-pack, all right? He looks chiseled out of his mind. He's demanding double teams inside. I already told you about Nick Bosa. The league knows about Nick Bosa. He's going to terrorize quarterbacks game in and game out. Eric Armstead is back. The defensive line is deep. And then you get the linebacker core led by Fred Warner. This defense looks to be better on paper than they were a year ago. So I think they're going to be tenacious. And don't forget, defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans is now entering his second season as a head signal caller from defense. Last year, he went through some bumps and bruises early on in the season, really found his groove in the last couple months of the season. So I think this defense is going to be so much better than they were a year ago, and it all starts with the defensive line. They're 9 deep. They're 9 deep on the defensive line. I mean, it is really ridiculous, and they don't have to blitz. That's a benefit to the secondary. That helps in secondary guard for multiple seconds if they have to. So I'm really excited about this defense, man. They look so good.
A larger picture here, Bonte, and we're talking to Bonte Hill, 95-7 the game in San Francisco. This, when you really look back at the snapshot of, let's say, I don't know, 5 years, let's just kind of take a picture of this team. I mean, this is a team that got Nick Bosa, they got Trey Lance, but they went to a Super Bowl in an NFC Championship game. That's a very interesting snapshot for a football team in a five-year span.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and really the reason why they struggled is because the quarterback was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded here in 2017, they win 5 straight games. People are expecting playoffs in 2018. He gets hurt week 3 against Kansas City, season over. 2019, as you mentioned, they go to the Super Bowl. Should have won the Super Bowl. We're 7 minutes away. 3rd and 15, Mahomes completes a deep shot to Tyreek Hill, and all hell breaks loose for the 49ers in that fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. 2020, the pandemic season, Garoppolo gets hurt. Bosa tears his ACL in week 2. Solomon Thomas tears his ACL. Injuries galore. Raheem Mostert, ankle injuries. It was all bad for the 49ers in the pandemic season. So they finally get a little healthy last year. Look, the foundation's in place. The Shanahan system does work. But can he help you get over the top? I know everybody hangs their hat on blaming Shanahan for the Super Bowl loss for the Falcons against the Patriots. What was that, 5, 6 years ago, when he was the offensive coordinator and Matt Ryan was throwing bombs at Julio Jones. Everybody plays Shanahan for that Super Bowl collapse. I'm befuddled by that because he's the offense coordinator. What about Dan Quinn and his defense?
No doubt.
Can they get a stop? You know. So that's why I stand with that one. But Shanahan does have something to prove. And then when you see Sean McVay with the Super Bowl and your rival, the L.A. Rams, they finally beat you in the NFC Championship game. There's a lot of pressure on Shanahan to get this organization over the top to hoist their first Super Bowl in 1994, since 1994-95. So, look, the snapshot of this organization, they are in a great spot. They have nothing but talent. And when Shanahan and Lynch came aboard, there was no talent. There was basically DeForest Buckner and a bunch of who's. Now you look around this football team, they have a premium quarterback, a possible franchise quarterback in Trey Lance. We're really high on them out here on the West Coast. You have Nick Bosa. You have George Kittle. You have Deebo and Brandon Ayuk. You have Warner. So, look, life is good as a 49er. Now it's just about popping that champagne after a Super Bowl one of these days. They've been close. They've been very, very close, and the journey's been fun. But now it's time to get them over the top. But you're right, man. In 5 years, they've done a heck of a job in rebuilding the 49ers.
Well, we know the 49ers are going to be a story, so expect our call during the season, my friend. Thank you so much, as always, my brother.
Anytime. I love you guys out in H-Town, man. Keep up the great work.
You got it, Brian. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. That's Bonte Hill, a good friend in San Francisco at the game, 95.7, the game. Good station out there, too. And again, these guys that we get on, the passion is there, man. The passion is there. We definitely are going to have them on because I think this is going to be a story. I don't think Trey Lance and the Niners are going to be mediocre and struggle and just kind of disappear and just, you know, be a conversation. I think they're going to be around. I don't know how, where in terms of what around means, but I know that there'll be a story late in the season and throughout the season, and the way Trey Lance is playing and the way that team is built around him. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, again, our thanks to Bonte Hill for joining us and talking a little bit on the Niners. Very high on the Niners, as you would have expected. Went a little long there, but thank you for hanging with us. We got him on late. But there's a reason why I bring that up. Usually that's a little inside radio thing, but because Ron and I were just talking on the break, It's like, what, 5:30 over
it
there?
Just turned 5:30 for
so,
them.
So, like, the guy comes on to join us before he gets his day rolling at the game, and it doesn't sound like he just rolled out of bed. He's as energetic. He's more energetic at 5:30 than I am.
Well, see, I think that's why. That's why he was a little late.
Eastern.
I think that's why he was a little late because maybe. I think he was in an area where he couldn't really talk. I'm going to assume this,
right?
Because I know he's part of the morning show at 95.7 The Game,
right?
And that's what, you know, always try to get him ahead of him going into the building. He might have been, you know, maybe he's running a little late and he's stuck on that BART.
Maybe so.
Really want to, you know, get all hyped up in the train. I understand that.
Could be the case. So,
but I don't know.
Yeah, but we got him. We got him on late. We got him on. But nevertheless, I give him credit for coming on that early in the morning.
Ready to run through a brick wall for the Niners. Well, going to place a $1,000 bet for them to win the Super Bowl.
That's right. He's really excited about this team. What a division, though. What a division that is.
It has been for the last couple of years,
Arizona,
too.
Arizona, which we don't really know much about. Seahawks stink, but that's all right. But wow. It's going to be crazy. You're right. Think about every one of those teams has had a shot at that top spot in the last couple of years, right? It's been like there hasn't been a dominating I own this division team.
No, last year, the year before that, we found out a way because the NFC is kind of down right now. We've figured out that, you know, all four teams can make it.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm.
And yeah, last year was absolutely one of those years. Mm-hmm. All four teams could have made it.
This year, no. Sorry,
year,
Seahawks.
Sorry. Unless Drew Locke emerges,
you know, I'll even throw the Cardinals in there.
Star. Yeah, the Cardinals.
Because,
I can't wait till we get to the Cardinals.
Because
by the way.
They disappoint.
Really yeah, that was a drop off a cliff last year.
Yeah.
That was the best team in football for the first 8 weeks of the season. I want to say they went. I think they started 7-0.
Yeah,
but even when they lost their first game, it wasn't that horrible. But I might be misremembering that.
I don't think you are. I don't think you are. I remember it being that way, too. Looking at them, it's like, God, you know, this team, you know, for the first couple of weeks, we're like, you know, maybe let's just keep watch them roll. And then it got to a point like, this team is phenomenal.
This team, yeah, I mean, started off great. Kyler Murray was in an MVP level. He was playing really good. And then just, they started to look bad. They started to lose some, you know, losing games that they probably should have won. And it didn't feel like the same team. It was like, you know, coming off. And then, no, I was right, actually, because their first loss was a 24-21 Thursday night game, which was really good. Remember Murray was trying to lead them on a comeback against the Packers at home and threw that interception? But remember we said at the end of that game that Murray looked like the quarterback. He threw a pass, but he kind of went, I got this. I just missed that, but I'm going to get it next time. And then they beat San Francisco, and they were 8-1.
And it wasn't like it was a terrible team. We're talking about the Packers.
Right, the Packers at home, right? And then they did lose to Carolina badly, but then they bounced back, beat Seattle. They were 9-2 going into their break. They were 10-2 in early December. So they were still one of the top teams in the NFL and then lost 4 of their last 5 games. And that playoff loss to the Rams was as bad of a game as you will see a playoff team play. That was absolutely atrocious. And Murray looked terrible. And I can't wait to get to the Arizona Cardinals this week because two big questions was, how do you properly evaluate last season? Because a strong start and a bad finish really does equal a bad finish. Really, no matter what you do early in the season, it's more about what you do at the end. And the second thing is that I still think that Kyler Murray clause in that contract is a story. I still think there is a deeper meaning to that I don't think is being flushed out like it really was. It was kind of like, oh, they took it out, and then we stopped talking about it. Why was it in there in the first place, right? Is there something that's not really being talked about, which is how much do they trust Kyler Murray to put in the effort? They can say all the PR stuff they want. They can say they can put out a press release. They can tell the media how they believe in their quarterback. But it was in there for a reason because it's not in anybody else's contract. It was in his. And it didn't feel like it was a mistake. It felt like it was something they wish never got out to the public. So when we get to the Cardinals, I'm really curious about that. Anyway, good, the bad, and the dumb has been moved. We're going to do that next. It's brought to you by Verizon as we continue. It's Wake Up Call and Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's if you want to chime in the conversation about the Niners and where you think they're going in 2022.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. Yes, we had to move the good, the bad, and the dumb, but you still are getting it because you want it. That's what we do here. It's brought to you by Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines. With auto pay plus taxes and fees, their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Pay-per-view billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, let's get to the good of the day. Big weekend. What's the good of the day?
Big weekend, so we got to start off with a big good.
Oh.
And the good of the day goes to this former NBA champion and current U.S. diplomat to countries that hate us, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, yeah, that's right.
So Dennis Rodman has received permission by, I guess, us and Russia, I'm not sure, to go and talk to Putin personally about releasing Brittany Griner.
Yeah, I heard that. So is this, didn't Rodman go to Korea? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's a U.S. diplomat to countries that hate us.
That's right. So North Korea, did he do anything?
He hung out with Kim Jong-un. Maybe he called Kim Jong-un to say, hey, can you talk to your buddy Putin?
Okay, he wasn't trying to get anybody over there. I think he was just going there to say hi, right?
Yeah. No, he wasn't, you know, I think
he was like, can we just
an olive branch, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now he's going over to see Putin. He says he knows Putin.
Yeah.
So
he plans to talk to Putin, like get one-on-one with Putin. No one else can really get one-on-one with Putin. And Putin, like, you know, remember there was a photo because Putin is afraid of his life and, you know, ex-KGB guys.
Right,
keep
right.
him, and even has all his top aides with him. And he's at one end of the table where they're all a mile away at the other end of the table. So, but apparently, you know, Rodman's Rodman, and he's just going to go in and shake hands with Putin and get this Brittany Griner deal done.
I'm going to give people advice here, and I don't like to do this all the time, but nevertheless, listen to Uncle Tony. Do not follow this story from anybody in the sports world. Meaning, don't listen to what Peter King writes about this in his column or anybody else. Talk to political people. Read the political angle of it. It's way more complex than just, they're not even calling. Sports people think trading the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner is like trading Jimmy Garoppolo for 2 draft picks and a defensive end. It's not how it works.
No.
Right? And people just, you've got the geopolitical climate, what's going on, how it is being perceived. Both leaders want to make it happen, but both leaders need to be very cautious that they're not being taken advantage of. It's the geopolitical game that is being played. And I think in the sports world, when we have sports commentators thinking that this is just a simple phone call that needs to be made and she's on the next flight home, probably with cakes and cookies, that's not how it works.
Or that Robin's going to say, hey, man, I'll give you one of my trophies.
Do you think, though, do you think the Merchant of Death, though, is like, if they do trade her, it's going to be like at a bridge in the middle of the winter where they're like, like both of them start walking and they cross and then you grab her and bring her over to make sure she's okay. And they grab him.
And then special forces swoops in to grab him back.
Yeah. Everybody's got guns out. Like, all right, hold on. Everybody cool. It's happening.
You know, I mean, no, it's the U.S. They'll bring a duffel bag full of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, and the guy, you know, the Russian guy's be like, set it down. Oh, let me see her first.
God. I know. Let's see.
Opens a door to the SUV with tinted windows.
Are we
windows.
Asking for, like, proof of life? She's holding up a newspaper or something? like, what is going on with this story? But I'm telling you, this is how we do it. I'm going to say something kind of sad. Brittany Griner, her issue is going to disappear in the major public life in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that's what's going to happen. People in the sports world that care about it this summer are going to lose track of it when football season starts. And I'm not talking about politics and people who care about it. They'll always remember. But I'm talking about like Joe in Albuquerque. That's like, yeah, Brittany Griner. She should be home. Whatever.
And the other thing, too.
Football season starts like, oh, she's still over there? Yeah, that's the most Americans are going to be like, oh, we haven't got her back yet? I thought we would have got her back by now.
And the other thing, too, that the narrative that needs to stop is the narrative of, that's barely a misdemeanor in the United States.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, that doesn't matter.
Said that over and over again. Like, you can't equate it. It's not our problem.
It's apples and oranges to what their laws are, what they're capable of doing. I mean, you know, we've watched movies. Remember, what was that movie? SWAT?
SWAT, yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
They got the bad guy, the head cartel guy, on a busted taillight.
Yep.
I mean, I know he was a hardened criminal, but... You know, busted taillight, you don't end up pulling someone in and, you know, things like that.
What was that movie with Joaquin Phoenix and Vince Vaughn? There was a movie in the 90s where they were kids and the friends left. Oh my God, I'm butchering this movie. I'm sorry. But somebody on Twitter helped me at Tony D Radio. There was a movie with Vince Vaughn, Anne Heche, the late Anne Heche was in it, where they're buddies, they're smoking weed in like Thailand or something, like, or Bangkok or something, and the buddies leave.
Return to Paradise?
Was that it? Return to Paradise, where the buddy stays, but he gets arrested, and they go to the two friends, and they go, it's years later, and they go, he's going to be executed. You've got to go admit your part. That'll save his life, but you got to go to jail there. And one of the friends goes, nope, I got a wife and kids. Nope, not my problem. I'll live with this for the rest of my life. And Vince Vaughn goes back, and it's, yeah. And so, like, it's movies like that. What's the one? There was another movie, Broke Down Palace, with Claire Dane and
Kate Beckinsale.
She was a drug mule for some guy they met while they were on vacation. She ended up in a Bangkok prison, I think one of the Bill Pullman, I think, was in that movie as her lawyer. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of these movies. They're in my head right now. But nevertheless, that's the Brittany Griner situation. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
No, we're at the bad now.
Oh, bad. See, I went too long on the Brittany Griner story.
I know.
The good was Dennis Rodman. I turned it into the bad by talking about prisoners.
I really don't know how good.
That's my fault.
We'll have to find out how good it really is.
Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman can get her home, though. He's kind of a hero.
I mean, if he does,
yeah.
You know, Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I think a statue
is in order. I don't know.
So.
We'll see.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is Roy McIlroy had a run-in with a remote-control golf ball over the weekend.
Yeah, he did.
And apparently he's the PGA Tour villain now because he doesn't know how to have fun.
Well, somebody threw a ball on the green and then was remote-controlled.
It was remote-controlled, and it was while he was trying to set up for his shot. He was on the green. I can't remember who else he was with, but the ball was trying to roll to the hole. He walked over. He hits the ball away. The ball regains itself, starts rolling back to the hole. Rory ends up picking it up and throwing it into the nearby pond. And everyone on social media was vilifying him for not being any fun. And I feel that's unjust.
The guy is trying to work.
He's trying to work.
Like, you wouldn't...
But it is like that Shooter McGavin moment in Happy Gilmore. It's like, God, I'm trying to work here, people. Go back to your shanties.
Exactly.
Which I believe Shooter did tweet out as well in support of Rory. Like, I hope you told them to go back to their shanties.
So did they identify the person that did this?
Immediately. They escorted him off the course.
Okay, and he can't get the money back for the ball that's in the lake.
His ball's ruined.
Yeah, so whatever that much that costs, a remote control golf ball, he's out that.
I'm watching it. It's on one of the TVs here right now. I'd watch it again.
At the same time, that's the price. You had to know that's what you were sacrificing when you did it, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to set up his shot. He's trying to find line that's going to get him the birdie or the par, whatever he was needing at that moment.
When they throw you out of a golf tournament, what is it like? Do they get you to the gate and they go, and stay out?
What do they do?
Like,
do they toss you?
Do they take your picture and then go to the other entrances? Because a golf course is huge. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways you can enter a golf course. There's different places you can, different gates, if you will. Then they go, okay, we're taking your, and we got to give it, don't let this guy in. And he comes in with a disguise.
Right.
Or do they beep his ticket and go, beep, that's now done. You cannot enter anymore. Oh, gosh. Well, now they're going to be like, no cell phones, No drones. No drones and no remote control golf balls. In case you're thinking about bringing one to Augusta. God, I never thought I would see that. Golly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Do you want to do it now or do you want to come back?
All right, let's come back.
Because I have two sound bites that go with the dumb
let's
of the day.
Let's do that. Let's do that. We'll take a break. Come back. Dumb of the day next. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the dumb of the day now that we did the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Before we do that, it's never okay to drive stoned. You put yourself and others in danger. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I really don't know who to put this on.
Okay.
But there was a UFC match over the weekend.
Yes, there was.
Gronk was holding a little special.
Yep.
And he had a guest on, one Dana White.
Yeah.
And Dana White proceeded to tell a story that I don't know if it's true. So, the problem I'm having is this. The dumb could be Dana White, but Gronk is kind of backing it up. And if it is true, then the dumb is on the Raiders. So, but here's Dana White's story.
I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have had Brady and Gronk the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl, except Gruden blew the deal up. And there's so much story that goes along with this behind the scenes. And I was never going to tell that story till Gronk just said it. But, yeah.
And Dana?
Let me tell you what, Brady was not happy.
And you just told the story.
All right. So Brady was supposed to go to the Raiders. And Gronk verified this story?
Greg? Yeah. He did right there. It was like, yep. That, he said that it's true.
Okay.
On the podcast or whatever it was,
the
telecast that
yeah.
he was doing, which is he's sitting with a bunch of his friends. And
right. So you said you have a second soundbite.
I have a second soundbite because internet sleuths went to the tape. And remember, there was HBO? Was it what's that show? The Barbershop? Is it Barbershop?
Oh, yeah. LeBron James and the Barbershop?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Brady was on it.
Right.
Way, way back then.
So they dug into this a little bit.
And they dug into this. So I grabbed the soundbite from that maybe we kindly have an answer to who Brady was talking about.
There was a story in free agency. One of the teams, they were interested, and all of a sudden they weren't interested at the very end. I was sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that mother. Are you serious? Tom probably had no desire to go to that team, but now it's like, why don't you want me?
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, when sure. I look back, I'm like, there's no way I would have went to that team. But they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means. I know what that feels like, and I'm going to you up because of that.
So now that he's talking about Derek Carr.
He's talking about Derek Carr.
Right, which was what people sort of pegged as.
Well, we couldn't remember. Remember, we thought maybe it was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo,
and that was
right.
The betting favorite was Jimmy Garoppolo because, like. Because
he wanted to go to San Francisco.
Yeah, he wanted to play at home.
Right. So we think that this is Dana White's telling the truth.
You think Dana White is telling the truth?
Is Dana White allowed to make deals in the National Football League?
Maybe
is he allowed
to
because I know that you have to be certified by the league as an agent. I just can't be an agent in the NFL because a buddy of mine is playing football. Right? You know what I mean? Like I have to be certified by the league to do deals. But, I mean, Dana White's a very powerful person. I mean, extremely powerful.
sports figure. So I'm wondering if that was not – he wasn't acting as an agent capacity.
No,
but he was acting as a – I know people, and I know the movers and shakers, so let me just do this as a –
maybe
as a thing.
As a facilitator?
Yeah, I'm not working out contracts or anything like that, but I'm just easing the process along. That makes better – that makes sense to me.
But it just – you know, so I don't – it's one of those weird dumps. It's like, you know, I don't know if the story is 100% true, and if it isn't, you know, it definitely goes on Dana White and Gronk for just trying to – create something out of nothing.
Wow.
But if it is true, it's got to go on Gruden and the Raiders, right?
Well, if it is true, like, Gruden should be somewhere near a
shouldn't
microphone.
Shouldn't he be fired?
Somewhere.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, wait, yeah. Shouldn't Gruden be near a microphone? Oh, no, that's right. He doesn't want to be near a microphone either because he knows what's going to be asked of him. So he's got to stay quiet on this. Right?
It's like the perfect timing to release the story. Yeah, because
we can pile on Gruden, and Gruden ain't going anywhere near a microphone.
Can't say a thing.
So Gruden,
because no one cares
about
that story with Gruden,
right? Let's talk about Brady and Gronk. That didn't really work out. Okay, how about the emails you sent?
Yeah.
Oh shoot, why did I agree to this?
Exactly.
Right, go stay away. Good Lord. But yeah, no, there's a believability to this,
especially when Tom Brady is, because that story came out years ago.
Yeah,
came out like the year he was with the Buccaneers.
Exactly. One, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Dana White did this. Like I said,
oh, of course
he's
not.
A hugely powerful figure. But two,
and he sticks his nose into everything.
Right, he does. He sticks his nose in everything. And two, it does. Dana White's not the kind of person. Don't get me wrong. He leads the UFC, and there's a little bit of salesmanship that goes on with that. But I don't think he'd risk complete another. You know, like that would be a story you'd research, you'd look into. I don't think he's putting himself out there unless it's a private joke. Where he's like, I don't care if people believe me or not. It's
but
Brady, and Gronk can have a good laugh at the people tracking this story down.
I don't know.
It seems believable to me.
It does to me, too.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll come up. Hour 3 rolling as we continue. Not only the look at the Niners, but some other things around the league as we continue. And, by the way, who's more nervous tonight? Well, which team should be more nervous tonight as the Subway Series continues?